Welcome to the Crossings Church podcast, where we connect people to God and others. And now, here's this week's message.
Well, good morning. Hey, we're talking about big questions. Last week we talked about, can I trust the Bible? And this week we're talking about, what about other religions? Who's ever heard something like this? So you're saying that all other religions are wrong and yours is right? Who's ever heard something of that nature? Yeah, for sure. And then it's followed up by you feeling on the spot, and then there are comments like, wow, you're judgmental. That's very unloving. So I thought we would throw this big question right on the floor today and talk about it. What about other religions? I stumbled into this as a young guy, as late 80s. We had a friend that worked at a beauty shop, a high-end salon. So I was there for the cheap haircut. And I'm there getting my cheap haircut. And to my surprise, the ladies that were working there, like four of them that day, they were all talking about God. And I was like, oh, what a nice talk, and God's love. And it was this very nice talk. And I interjected a couple times, like, yeah, God is good, God is loving, and we're all, yay, God. And then I made a mistake. I brought up Jesus. I'm like, man, Jesus just means so much to me. And it's like the room got cold, and I could hear the sound of the shears go, ch, ch, ch. And she's like, we're not about being judgmental. And she launched into me. I didn't judge any, I just mentioned Jesus. And, you know, it occurred to me that she knew John 14:6 as well as I did, which says, and this is Jesus' words, he says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Well, Jesus made some exclusive claims, like he is the only way. So when you bring Jesus up, I wasn't calculating at all. You bring Jesus up, it can be pretty controversial because Jesus himself made some very controversial statements. And if you're going to be a Jesus follower, somebody that says, I trust and believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, it puts you at odds with a lot of different things because Jesus doesn't say, I'm a way. He doesn't say, I'm one of six major religion type ways to get to heaven. He says, I'm the way. And so in our culture, that is a no-go. In fact, one of the lines I've heard is, I can tolerate anything but your intolerance. So we'll get into that later. We'll try to explain that at another time. But there's this passage in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 19. And if you haven't read the book of Acts, do so. Who got a chance to read the book of Mark this week? I did. I sat down. I read it in one setting. And not to my surprise, but it never ceases to amaze me how the Word of God continues to speak to my personal life over and over and over again. Be someone that reads the Bible. The book of Acts is just an amazing history book. If you've got any intellectual itch in you at all about history, read the book of Acts. Many people refer to the book of Acts, secular and religious historians, because its accuracy is so on point. So Acts chapter 19, we're dealing with the city of Ephesus, which was a major Roman city. It was a big metropolitan area, a center of influence, center of intellectualism and trade. And a place that had a whole lot of religion. A lot of different gods were worshipped there. A lot of things of a spiritual nature went on there. And then here comes Paul preaching Jesus. Acts chapter 19, beginning with verse 18. It says, many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. Now, I just want to say, many of those who believe, those are people that believe the simple message. What is the message of the gospel? Paul showed up there, and this is largely a Greek city, really mixed, all kinds of different races, different people, but a lot of Greek. He comes to Ephesus and he preaches that this Jewish carpenter named Jesus went about teaching good, healing the sick, delivering people from bondage, and then was turned over, crucified, was an innocent man crucified, and in being crucified, he carried the sins of the entire world. There's everyone's. 3 days later, God raised him up from the dead, and he ascended to the Father and is at the right hand. And he's to be worshipped, and he's to be trusted. And in belief in that message, your sins are forgiven and you're transformed. Well, this group believed. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. Verse 19. A number who had practiced sorcery, which we hear sorcery and we say, ooh, black magic, darkness. Well, that was part of their faith system. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. I think this is kind of cool. And we're talking about truth right now. Truth has a way of changing everything. Now, if I encounter falsehood and know it's false, I'm not likely to change big things in my life. If I encounter truth and know it's truth and it's brought a change about in my life, I'm liable to do anything. And so they burned all their scrolls publicly. That's a bold statement. It says, when they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to about 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Now, a drachmas is a day's wage. So, let's see. We all make different wages here. Some less, some more. Let's just give it $100 a day. 100 times 50,000. Do the math. That's a lot of money in scrolls. Either some people had a whole lot of scrolls, or scrolls cost a lot of money, or there were a whole lot of people. I choose to think there were a whole lot of people. So we're talking about a lot of people taking something was of value. They didn't like say, wow, I'm changing my way and I'm believing the truth in Christ. I'm going to put these on eBay or Craigslist. They burned them. Jesus said this in John 8:32. He says, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Truth matters. It matters big time. Ravi Zacharias says this. He said that truth by definition will always be restrictive. Truth by definition will always be restrictive. I use this analogy a lot, but it's a decent one. If I were to say the place is burning down, the truth is there's an exit there, 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 and there. You've got four choices, people. It's restrictive. Truth is restrictive by nature. The narrowness lies in the fact that you cannot manufacture your own truth. Now, I know this goes against our crazy culture right now. There's this idea that what John over there thinks is true can be true, and what I think is true can be true, and what Feely over there thinks can be true is true, and we can all just make up our own truth. That's not true. Truth has a sense of narrowness because of its nature. I've mentioned this example before. How many are glad that your pilots are narrow-minded in regards to the truth? I am. I'm so glad. So happy that I have narrow-minded pilots in our industry. I am so glad that when there are truths amongst humanity, if we made up our own truth, what if someone here said today, the truth I believe is that I feel like it's okay for me to steal things and hurt people. We may start off as a crowd to say, hey, it's okay. What's true for John is true for John. What's true for me is true for me. What's true for Chuck is true for Chuck. We may say that until your truth violates me. What if I said, yeah, that's what we believe? And then one of us just walked down the parking lot, smashed your window open, started your car, drove off on it. Before they drove away, they stepped out, punched you real good, knocked you down, and says, hey, my truth says that I can do this. How many would have a problem with that? It's like all of a sudden your truth is no longer truth. See, truth comes from, in the Christian worldview, God. Man, he set this up. And he left us his word. And we're not going to get back into why we can trust the Bible, but he left us his word. And we have anchor points. We have fixed points of truth. There's things we see just in humanity. Natural law says there are some things that are true. It's true that I can't just steal from you. It's just never okay. It's true that a husband should never just cheat on his wife. There's some things that just aren't okay. And if we violate these things, we all as humanity look and say, hey, that's not right. Another aspect of truth is powerful. It changes things. Jesus said the truth sets people free. You don't have to like it. You don't have to agree with it. But it's truth regardless of what you think. 1996, I was supporting my ministry habit by doing construction. Because ministry pays a lot of money. So I got on with a crew that building houses. And if you've worked in the trades, how many here worked construction? Okay, so you know what tradespeople can be like. And in my time in the trades, I realized there are two groups of people. They're roofers and they're concrete people. They're the worst. Roofers and concrete. I don't know why. It's like a sin sandwich. The top and the bottom are the most sinful people I've ever met. Roofers, concrete. I worked both of them. It's just where I was. And this day, I'm working, and one of the guys on the concrete crew, Daryl, was going on about something, and I interjected a truth about Christ, just something out of the Bible. I don't remember quite what it was, but what I do remember was his objection to it. And he retorted at me angrily. He says, hey, he says, that may be true for you, but knock it off. It's not true for me. I'm like, all right. I said, I believe that the Bible says, again, I'm quoting Bible that he doesn't believe in, but somehow it works. I said, I believe that the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of God's glory, that you, me, we've all got a problem. So it's a law. It's truth. Just like if we got up on the roof right now and you decided that you didn't believe in gravity and you walked right off that roof saying, I don't believe, because that's not my truth, you're going to hit the ground hard, dude. So after that, I decided I'll just go into my scriptures about the Romans Road. That's a great thing to know. If you don't know them, know them. Now, if you've ever been on a construction site, you hear things like this. Time is money. Dollar waiting on a dime. Go, 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 go. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You do not make money standing around talking about Jesus. Well, you get breaks at 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and lunch. It wasn't 10, it wasn't 2, it wasn't lunch. So it's kind of violating the rules here. And I begin to tell Daryl, all of sin to fall short of the glory of God. The next verse I shared was, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And to my amazement, I'm having a normal conversation with this guy. Nail guns are running, saws are running, and I heard everything stop. It sounded like as quiet as in this room. Just quiet. The guy running the site came over and stood. The different trades stopped and walked around. Literally everybody on the site was gathered around to hear the Romans Road. Guys that were addicted to drugs, guys that showed up so messed up that morning they couldn't see straight, all kinds of people stood and gathered around in stone-cold silence to hear the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him won't perish but have everlasting life. God demonstrates his own love in this. While we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Then the workday was kind of wrapping up. I said, all right, well, maybe we can get to it. It was that quiet. It just stunned. I should have probably said, bow your heads, close your eyes, we're going to pray. Garth, you know I'm terrible at altar calls. So I just, okay, and we went back to work, and I presented truth. They didn't have to believe the truth. This is my worldview. This is what I hold. This is true. I'm convinced of this truth. I believe it's truth. I'd stake my life on that truth. Those guys didn't believe it. I still respect them. I still love them. But because I love them, I shared what I deemed to be true. Just like if this place were burning down, I wouldn't say, hey, if you think there's another exit, go for it. No, I'm going to compel you to come with me. Because I believe, I've been through that door, I know where it goes. I would do everything I could to get you to come. Why? Because I love you. And as Christians, we do the same thing. So back to the story of the next morning, I'm working and the concrete guys are outside doing the sidewalk all in the back, and I hear Daryl, blank and blank and blank. Something crazy happened, man. I don't need to do drugs anymore. Daryl was just addicted. He says, I didn't do drugs last night. I don't think I need to do them anymore. And I'm hearing this other guy say, what the blank, boo boo. You know, they're just cussing their heads off. And he goes, yeah, man. He says, when Trev was talking about those Bible things yesterday, he says, I felt something warm come over my body. And I just don't need it. And I'm like, man, that's just truth. You know, that's just truth that is powerful. And in this story in Acts 19, you see when truth is presented, things change. Guys, there's no power in our opinion in this room. There's no power in our styles. There's no power in the great current trends or fads. But there's great power in truth. And truth in Scripture that can change your life and cause you to go a different direction. And cause you to find meaning and hope and peace. And this is why when we say, what about other religions? We don't say arrogantly or fight or argue, because that's not God's people's place. But we do say, this is what we see the truth is, and we proclaim it with love. Let's move on. Acts chapter 19, verse 23. Says, about that time, there arose a great disturbance about the way. The way is the people that believe. These are Christians. A silversmith named Demetrius, who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought in a lot of business for the craftsmen there. He called them together. This sounds like the first union. He called them together along with the workers and related trades and said, you know, my friends, that we receive a good income from this business. And you see and hear how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus and in practically the whole province of Asia. He says that gods made by human hands are no gods at all. There is danger not only in our trade we'll lose, its good name, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited. And the goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia and the world, will be robbed of her divine majesty. I just want to say as quickly as I can, these guys had a worldview. They had a worldview that Artemis was a goddess that was powerful and that was to be worshipped. We know they had financial motive, but still, they believed that the goddess Artemis was to be worshipped and this was encroaching in her or threatened her divine majesty. Let me just say this about other religions. Christianity always gets the bad rap, especially in America. Every time somebody talks about Christianity, they say stuff like, oh, it's so exclusive, it's so judgmental. Can I say that every single major world religion is exclusive in its claims. Christianity, it's always brought out, oh, they're all exclusive. They're not the same. They make wildly different claims. So it's impossible to say, they're basically the same. No, they're not. It would be like me and one of you standing up here saying, listen, I really like vanilla ice cream. I hate chocolate. And you saying, I love chocolate and I really hate vanilla. And we're saying, no, they're basically saying the same thing. No, they're not. They're not saying anything. They're close to the same thing other than they like ice cream. That'd be like saying Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, New Age. They're basically saying the same. No, they're not. Very quickly, just to run down it, got a ton of stuff here. Look it up if you like. Hindus. Hindus are peaceful people. We love India. We work with India a lot. They believe in karma. How many know what karma is? Hey, man, don't mess with karma. She gets you. There's threads. There are true things in every religion. But not all is true. So they believe in karma. And if you have good karma, you come back something nice. Reincarnation. That's a crazy claim because Christianity claims something way different. We believe when you die, you go into eternity. You go to heaven, you go to hell. Not you come back better or worse. If you've got good karma, you come back something pretty. Maybe you come back a movie star. Maybe you come back thinner. Maybe you come back richer. I don't know. If you've got bad karma, you come back bad. In fact, you might even come back as a street kid living in the rail station at the Howrah rail station. You might come back a kid that can't find his next meal. Why? You had bad karma in your past life. You got to work this off and deal with it. See, Christianity says, hey, let's give money to help these kids at the train station all the way across the world because they need to know about the love of Jesus and they need to eat. Let's help kids in different places like that. Hinduism says, hey, I walked right by that kid today and I'm not going to give him anything because he's got to work it off. He's there for a reason. See, big difference. Christianity comes up with things that say, but by the grace of God, there go I. Other faiths say, they had it coming. Major difference. Islam, major difference. They're good, loving people in Hinduism and Islam. Do I agree with them? No, we disagree. In Islam, it's the five pillars of the faith. You got to follow those things, man. If you don't, you are not going to make heaven. Period. You got to be a really good Muslim. And even then, it's kind of up in the end, like, were you good enough? Bad enough? It's very works-based. In fact, years ago when we went to visit Ethiopia, we found out that there were many Muslims being won to Jesus because Muslims that would come to faith in Christ, and they'd realize that I can go to heaven. Jesus died for my sins, and I can be assured that I make heaven. And as they would come to know Christ, they would go back to the mosque and pray for their friends to their right and their left. And when they had a chance to have coffee or tea with them, they would explain the gospel of Jesus, that Jesus came so we could know that we could be free, that we could make heaven. And thousands and thousands of Muslims are coming to Christ in Ethiopia. Because of that, big difference. Judaism and Christianity, not the same. We share the Old Testament, but they don't believe the New Testament. They don't believe Jesus was the Messiah. They believe he was a charlatan. Maybe a good teacher at best. So not all religious claims are the same. They all have exclusive claims. So let's go on our story. Acts chapter 19, verse 28. When they heard this, so they hear this complaint. When they hear this, they were furious and begin shouting, "Great is Artemis of Ephesus, of the Ephesians!" Soon the whole city was in an uproar. So now there's emotions at play. How many know Artemis was no truer of a god with the emotions than she was before the emotions? It didn't make the goddess Artemis any more real or any more powerful because they were in an uproar than it did before they were in the uproar. How I feel doesn't determine what is true or not in my life. There are parts of the Bible sometimes I really don't like. That whole turn the other cheek thing, oh, there are times I really don't like that. Is it still true? Yes. I'm out of line with the truth. I need to get back into line. My feelings say, no, I want to do something else. I don't want to live by that truth. I don't want to turn the other cheek. I don't want to forgive. What I want to do is talk badly about them and get even. Now, because I feel that way doesn't make that true. It makes me wrong. Truth is, Jesus still says, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Someone strikes you on the right, turn them the left. Our culture right now, feelings trump truth. If we have a group of people that we look at and say, well, my feeling is I just want to stand up and say everybody's okay. That's not true. I like to be liked, so I'd love to stand up in front of the whole world and say, hey, listen, it doesn't matter what you are. Doesn't matter what you believe. We're all good. We all got it. Good, good. There's no joy in looking someone in the eye and saying, man, you have a deficit. I had a deficit. We believe God provided his own son to make the way. Feelings do not determine truth. And then, last thing, Acts chapter 19, verse 29. The people seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia, and all of them rushed into the theater together. Paul wanted to appear before the crowd, but the disciples would not let him. Even some of the officials of the province, friends of Paul, sent him a message begging him not to venture into the theater. The assembly was in confusion. Some were shouting one thing, some another. Most of the people did not even know why they were there. Does this sound like modern times? I mean, it sounds a lot like I'm reading a news account. The Jews in the crowd pushed Alexander to the front and they shouted instructions to him. He motioned for silence in order to make a defense before the people. But when they realized he was a Jew, they shouted in unison for about 2 hours, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" I think it's interesting in this case that truth was to be shut down. Don't let them talk. Verse 35, the city clerk quieted the crowd and said, "Fellow Ephesians, doesn't all the world know the city of Ephesus is the guardian of the temple of great Artemis and of her image, which fell from heaven?" So he's stating his position. He's making his truth claim. "Therefore, since these facts are undeniable, you ought to calm down and not do anything rash. You have brought these men here, though they have neither robbed temples nor blasphemed our goddess. If then Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen have a grievance against anybody, the courts are open and there are proconsuls. They can press charges. If there's any further you want to bring up, it must be settled in a legal assembly. As it is, we're in danger of being charged with rioting because of what has happened today. In that case, we would not be able to account for this commotion since there's no reason for it." After he said this, he dismissed the assembly. Now, I like this guy that stood up and calmed things down. Can I say right now, our world is in a riot. Our country's so divided. We're not having arguments with Islam. A lot of it's secular humanism today or different things. But I believe the church is called to present the truth in love. How many of you have ever seen the coexist or the tolerance stickers? Okay, yeah. And basically it says, hey, we're all one thing, right on the, well, not there yet. We're all one thing right on the back of our Prius. And tolerance used to mean this. Tolerance used to mean, hey, I can disagree with you in the sincerest way and love you with the same sincerity. I can disagree with you and I can present what I see as the truth, and I present that. I think it's interesting that this clerk stood up and presented. Don't you know that this is where the temple Artemis is and her image is here that fell from heaven? And he's presenting his truth claim. And I think that's fine. I think people have the right to present their claim to truth. But you too have a right and an obligation to present the love of God to people as you've encountered it. And tolerance used to mean just that we as a country, we as a group of people could literally disagree but still love each other, disagree but still love you, disagree but sacrifice for you. There are many people in my life and some of your lives that you have nothing in common with, in fact, disagree with totally, but still love them and still would sacrifice for them. And can I say to you, good job. That's exactly how it should be. Tolerance means I can disagree with you and still love you. The new definition of tolerance in our world, and so dangerous, and I believe the enemy's inspired this, is tolerance means you must believe what I believe. That's craziness. Tolerance says stuff like this: there is no absolute truth. If you've taken I Don't Have the Faith to Become an Atheist class, or you've been in our high school group, you would know that that's a what? A self-defeating argument. There's no absolute truth. Really? How can you make that statement then? Is your statement true? And our culture makes statements like that all the time. But can I say this? God's people are called to love. Last week I asked, read the book of Mark, and some of you did, and your socks were blown off by getting into the gospel. This week I'd love it if we'd memorize this verse. It's used a lot in the apologetics class, but it's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. It says, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. I think in this present day, the church could be the only healing agent we have. Because as you present the truth, but you love people. Man, you love people that disagree with you. You love people that would hate you. You love people that would do you harm. As we do that, as we say, listen, I'm holding out the truth of God's word, but I do it in a way that serves you and loves you and protects you, I believe we could see cool things happen. And I believe we could see our culture come together, many that believe, and in essence, kind of burn the things of our past and say, I'm following Jesus. I'm following a new way of life. See, I don't see Jesus as being narrow at all. The idea that he says, you know what? I'm no longer putting sacrifices you got to make or regulations, or I'm no longer keeping a list of your wrongs or rights. I'm saying this, I'll pay the bill. I'll sacrifice for you. I'll freely invite you to come and experience life. Come to me and live. That's pretty broad, I think. All the things that are held out, Jesus says, come to me, try me. Try me. Test me. What an offer. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you that you love us. And we thank you, Lord, that we've experienced that great love. And today, Lord, I pray for those that may have a bitterness. Maybe there's some here that have a bitterness in their hearts through what's going on in our world. I pray, God, that you'd put a love in our hearts for people. I pray, Lord, for those maybe that haven't been bold to share the truth. They feel like they've been silenced, Lord. First, let us know the truth and let us have boldness to share it lovingly. God, you're able to work this in our hearts. You're able to do a work in us that you did in Daryl all those years ago. In a moment, your truth sets us free. We pray for that here and now, Lord. Lord, that your truth, your love for us would set us free. Lord, we give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Here in a moment, we're going to be available for prayer. If you want to pray, if you've got questions, maybe you're like, hey, what is it to be a Christian? What is it to follow Jesus? Man, we'll take all the time we need to talk to you about that and pray with you. Will you stand with me? I want to say just one more word. As you go out, Jesus called his church salt and light. And we leave this place that way. You're the hope of the world. The church is the hope of the world. I'm convinced of that. We're not called to be bitter. We're not called to be complainers. We're not called to hate anybody. But we're called to bring the truth and love. And we're on mission this day. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would give your people a love that would just surpass fear, that would surpass all the stuff that's going on in this world. I pray you'd give them a boldness through your Holy Spirit to speak your word boldly, but with great love. Lord, I pray that we would see the opportunities as we go. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Crossings Church podcast. We meet at Desert Edge High School on the northwest corner of Yuma and Estrella Boulevard in Goodyear, Arizona. Our service times are 9 o'clock and 10:30. Do you have kids? Bring them to our kids' service at 10:30 a.m. You can find us at www.crossingschurchaz.org. Thank you for listening to this week's message. God bless and have a great week.